just finished 8 weeks in the Apostles' Creed, looking at 12 different statements of faith that we as believers we believe, and so we just finished that, and I realized that we didn't really talk about the significance and the importance of Scripture in your Bible. And so what we're going to do for the next few weeks, we're going to dive into the Bible and just how to study the Bible. And as we study the Bible, we're going to be looking at the book of Philemon. And it's a one chapter verse and, or one, excuse me, one chapter book. And as we read through it, we'll just dissect it. And I think it's going to be fun. It'll be very interactive. So I'm excited about that. I also want to reiterate what the video announcement said. We have baptisms coming up, everybody. Yeah, on May 26th during our block party. And listen, if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, but you have not yet been water baptized, or you were baptized when you were like a wee little baby and you're like, hey, like this discovery's my tribe now, my community. I want to be baptized within my community. We'd love for you to sign up. I believe the QR code, you can scan that, sign up for that. But so I got one. We're going to read Philemon. This, good luck if you have a Bible trying to find that. I'm serious. Philemon. We're going to read 10 verses, and then I'm going to share with you five different tips to studying the Bible, and then we're going to dive into the book of Philemon, but we'll be done by 2 o'clock this afternoon, and that's what some of you guys are thinking. You're like, oh man, I came on that Sunday, and so let's read it. Philemon chapter 1. Verse 1, it says this: Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, doesn't the word just sound way more holy with the keys playing? Like, I'm reading it and I'm thinking, man, I need this for my devotion. Like, Mario, are you available 6 o'clock Monday through Friday at my house in the morning? I'm just kidding, kind of, unless you're down. And then verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective and deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Final verse. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become both useful both to you and to me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness. Lord, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that in the next few moments that you would be magnified, that you would be glorified. Speak to our hearts, speak to our mind. We want to leave here better. We want to leave here changed, but not for our own benefit, but so that we can change the world around us. And so we thank you, we love you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, come on, everyone say it. Amen, amen. Right on. So when I was 17, I worked at this place called Coco's Restaurant and Bakery in Santa Rosa. Come on, if anyone knows that. Yeah, on Farmer's Lane, I worked there. And one day, my manager came to me and she said, John, we're trying to make peach pies and we ran out of peach filling. She said, can you go to the store and pick up some peach filling for our pies? I said, absolutely. So she proceeded. She's like, you can use my truck as well. And she proceeded to hand me her keys. And then she stopped and she said, can you drive a stick? And I said, absolutely. Now, I wasn't technically lying. I had to that point driven a stick shift twice in an abandoned parking lot where no cars were there. But I'm a man of faith. And so I said, absolutely, I can for sure. So I took a truck, I took my manager's keys, and I proceeded to the store to pick up some peach filling. And now, if any of you guys have been to Farmers Lane Coco's, it's no longer Coco's, but you know that in order to get out of the parking lot, there's a little hill that you have to drive up. And at the top of the hill, there's a traffic light. Now, I knew that this was there, but I thought to myself, as long as I hit the green light, I'm gonna be okay. So I pull out of the parking lot, and I get there, and it's right when I'm driving up the hill, it turns red. And so now I'm parked on a hill with a stick shift, trying my best to balance the clutch and the gas so I don't roll back and so it doesn't die. And so I'm like, this just got real. And so it's funny because I first started off, I was extremely excited. I was like, yeah. And then instantly, when I'm in that moment, I'm like, uh-oh. Light, I was able to keep it from going backwards and from stalling as well. And so the light turned green, and I'm like, okay, I can do this. And all of a sudden, I realize how hard it is to excel on a hill with the clutch. And it died. I stalled it. I'm like, oh, no. So I turned the truck on again, and I tried again, and I stalled it again. And this was happening at least 3 or 4 times to the point where people started honking their horn at me. And now I'm getting very just overwhelmed, okay? Like I'm starting to sweat and I'm like, ah! And I vividly recall looking in my rearview mirror and the lady behind me, God is my witness, she was like this. As if I didn't know, woman. Like, I know what I'm supposed to do. And finally, by the grace of God, I was able to get it up the hill into the store. I got back to the restaurant, and my manager was like, how'd it go? I was like, it was amazing. And she said, sure it was. She was able to watch me. Because you can see from the window, you can see all the chaos. And so, yeah, praise God. But the reason why I'm sharing this story with you is because when it comes to the Bible, I almost wonder if some of us feel the same way in that we start off excited only to become overwhelmed eventually. Like when it comes to this idea of reading the Bible, like we're like, yeah, this sounds exciting. Of course I want to read the Bible. And then you like open it up and then it's just like, wow, I don't even know what to do. It just becomes very overwhelming. And I think that perhaps the biggest reason why reading your word becomes or feels overwhelming is because it's like, where do I start? Have you ever thought that, man? Where do I start with my Bible? Now, for most of us, if you've ever said that, where do I start? Well, you probably started at one of two ways, okay? The first way, when you started reading your Bible, you might have started from the very beginning. You might have had this great idea, like, you know what? Like every other book, you start from the beginning. I'm gonna start from the beginning. And so you start off in Genesis and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then Exodus, you're like, yeah, that Moses guy, that's kind of cool, man. Like the parting of the Red, like all kinds of like cool things. And then you get to Leviticus and you're like, circumcision? Killing? What is this? And then you quickly just like close it. Like, this is way too much. And so if you didn't start reading your word like that, maybe you started like this. You got your Bible, and you were like, One day you're just like, Holy Spirit, lead me. Wherever I open this up at, I will do it. Whatever it says, Holy Spirit, you know? And you open it up and you're like, okay. And you just lead me, guide me. Whatever it says, I'll do. And then you land on like Ezekiel 4, verse 15. I will let you bake your bread over cow dung instead of human excrement. You're like, no, 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 that's not what I want. And then you quickly, you become super overwhelmed. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to let Pastor read me the Bible. And you just set it aside. Now, of course, I'm joking a little bit. But I think for the most part, a lot of us, we've tried to read the Bible and we've gotten some out of it. But like for the most part, it just becomes it feels very overwhelming. And so my heart this morning and for the next few weeks is that we would learn to love our Bible. Like we would learn to love the Word of God, that we would understand the value of the Word of God. We would understand what it brings to our life, that it guides us, that it disciplines us, it corrects us, it gives us wisdom and it gives us counsel. In fact, it says that your word is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, like, my heart is that we would fall in love with the Bible. Now, what we know about the Bible, it's 66 books and written over 1,500 years. There's three different languages, original languages, written by over 40 authors. And these authors, they were everything. They were physicians, they were prophets, they were kings, they were fishermen, they were shepherds, that like everything, they were everything, and they collectively wrote this the text, the scripture, your Bible, pointing to the very person of Jesus, from Old Testament to the New Testament, and this idea that the Word of God is just, it's vital to you and to my life, especially if you're here this morning and you would identify as a Jesus follower. And so I just want us to fall in love with the Word of God. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 2 Timothy, excuse me, says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But I love the author says, all scripture is God-breathed, that it's God-spoken. That when God created the earth, he spoke it, he breathed life. And so this idea that the Word of God just wants to breathe life into you and into me. So this morning, what I wanna do is I just wanna give you five just simple steps to help studying the Bible. And here's my hope, that we can commit from today until next week, that we would commit the next 7 days, or is that 6 days? I don't know, 6, 7 days. That we would implement these five things and that we would just try to start a consistent daily reading your word. And so here it is, five tips. The first tip is this, choose a translation you understand. Come on, somebody. Choose a translation you understand. So the original manuscripts were in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But I don't know about you, but I don't speak Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. And so there's English translations that came in. Perhaps one of the earliest was published in 1611, the King James Version. Now, when I grew up, like that was the version that you read if you were going to be holy. Like you were going to read the these and the thous and the theist and the veist and the, you know, like this. One of the earliest, was King James Version. But as you know, language changes over the years, correct? For instance, My kids, they use the word Riz all the time. Like at first, I didn't even know what that meant. So I just went to my friend Google and I said, what does Riz mean? And Riz means charisma. It's a shortening of charisma. And so it's just, you see how language, how words just change during the time period. One great example that I want to share with you is I'm going to read Philemon chapter 1, verse 7. And this is going to be in the King James Version. It says this, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Y'all feel blessed by that? Now, here's what's interesting. During this time period, during the 1600s, they actually believed that your emotions started in your stomach area, in your bowels, your this area right here. But now, we wouldn't say that, most of us. We would say what? Like our emotions, like our thoughts, like they're found more in like our heart, like our emotions come from our heart. And so that's why we see it change a little bit in the NIV. It says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. And so just language changes over time. But here's the heart of it, is I want you to be able to choose a translation that you understand. Because if you don't understand it, what's the point of reading it? Amen, somebody. And so I'll share with you five different translations that I use. Two of them I use to study for a Sunday. And then two of them I would use on a Sunday. And then one of them I just use because I typically never understand what it's saying originally, and it just helps me out. So now, again, these are just my what I use, and so some of you might be like, oh, heretic, why is he using that? The Message version, what a, you know, like, you can just, you know, write it, email me later, and then, because I always read them, and, so here are the three versions that I use to study, okay? The first translation I use is the Message translation. And here's why. Because the Message translation usually helps me understand what anything is talking about, right? Sometimes when I just read it, I don't really understand. So I use the Message translation and it kind of gives me a footing to what it's talking about. And then my study Bible, I brought these here. This is my study Bible. This is what I use most all the time. And like you can see, it's just, it needs help, everybody. But my study Bible is an ESV, English Standard Version. And this, it helps me to it's a great translation of the original. And so it helps me to get a better footing. But I feel like it's kind of weighty. And so what I'll do on a Sunday is I'll put my notes in the NIV translation. And so we used to do the NLT, excuse me. We used to use the NLT translation. And so we switched now on a Sunday morning from NLT to NIV. The Bibles that we hand out at the end, those are NIV. But for studying, I'll use my ESV. I also use a New King James Version. But those are just a few translations. Again, the heart is find something that you understand. A great source is the YouVersion Bible app. If you have not yet downloaded that on your smart device, they have all the translation, over 3,000, I believe, translations of the Bible, and that you can have different translations to look at. So choose a translation you understand. What is happening with my voice? I'm sorry, guys. There we go. So first tip, choose a translation you understand. Second one, choose a time, place, and a plan. So here's what I've discovered in life. You prioritize what's important. And what's important, you usually plan out. You schedule. And so I think if the Word of God is important, if quiet time is important, then you got to choose a consistent place, a consistent time, and have a plan. So for me, this is in the morning. If you have kids, usually like by the time they're in bed, you're just too tired. I'm too tired to do anything. So my consistent time is in the morning time. And I'll go to our back room, put on some worship. And so that's when I'll read my Bible. That's when I'll pray. My wife and I, we started doing this together. It's an amazing opportunity. And so find a time, a place, and make it consistent. Like, put it into your schedule, your calendar. Again, the YouVersion Bible app has numerous amounts of plans that you can choose from. Bible plans, if you're dealing with something, fear, anxiety, they got plans for you to go over. But it's a great resource for you and for me. And then the third tip is to understand context. How many of you guys know context is everything? Context is everything. And so the same is true with reading scripture. Sometimes when you're reading your Bible, like, you can read it out of context and you can get something that's like, take you somewhere crazy. And so you gotta understand the context. Come on, Leviticus. So three good questions to ask yourself for context, to help with context. Who wrote it? To whom was it written? And what is its purpose? And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the Philemon, the first few verses. We're going to look at who wrote it, who's it written to, and the purpose of the letter, okay? So we're going to go back through Philemon chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from our God, Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So based off of these first two verses, we understand who wrote it. So the Apostle Paul wrote it. He's writing it from the Roman prison. And who he's writing it to, he's writing it to a person, a man named Philemon. And what we'll discover if you study it a little bit, oh, I'm not going to find it. It's a lot. My little thing fell out, and it's like Philemon is one page in my Bible, so it's not even going to try. Philemon, what we'll discover if you study it a little bit is Philemon. He's a wealthy man. And he's a wealthy man, and we know that he's wealthy because he has a large enough house, for people to come meet at his house for a church service, and we also know that he's wealthy because he had slaves, and we don't endorse slaves. Like, that it was just what it was. It wasn't right back then. It's not right back. It wasn't right now, but that was just what they did back then. And so we know that he was a very wealthy man. So Philemon, it was a letter the Apostle Paul wrote from prison to a guy named Philemon who was wealthy, and he had a church meeting in his house. Verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Watch this, verse 7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. I find it fascinating. Usually when Paul writes a letter, he starts it off and he says, I, an apostle of Christ. So usually in his other letters, he starts off saying, this is who I am. But in this letter, I find it interesting that he doesn't do that. He says, he comes at it like almost humbly. He says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then what we read in verse 4 through verse 7 is, I almost read it as if he's trying to butter up Philemon. He's like, Philemon, I think of you always, and I pray for you greatly, for the great work that you do, Philemon. You are amazing. Verse 7, he says, your love, Philemon, has given me great, great joy. Now, I don't know, but to me, it kind of sounds like the kid that comes up to their parent and is like, Dad, you're the best dad ever. Dad, did you ever know how much I love you? Mom, how much I love you? You're so kind. What do you want? You know, like, it almost has like this type of vibe of Paul, like he's trying to butter up Philemon because he's about to ask Philemon this question. Then it gets to verse 8. Paul continues his letter. He says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Did you catch that? The tone change in verse 8. So verse 4, he's like, Philemon, my brother, I love you. You're amazing. And then he gets to verse 8 and he's like, listen here, bro. If I wanted to, I could flex my rank on you, but I'm not going to. I'm going to appeal to you in love. And what we will discover as we read next week, but I'll kind of lay it out like the flow of the letter that Paul is writing, is what we're going to find out is that Philemon had a servant named Onesimus. And Onesimus, he stole money from Philemon, and he left Colossus, and he ran to Rome. And while he was in Rome, Onesimus ran into Paul, the apostle. And while in Rome, and he met Paul, Paul led Onesimus to Christ. And Onesimus became a disciple, if you will, of the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul, he discipled Onesimus. And what we will discover is that Paul, he's encouraging Onesimus to go back to Philemon to repent and to pay back the money. But Paul knows that under the law, again, we don't think this is right now. We don't think it was right back then. But under the law of the time period, for a servant that would run away, like, they could be killed. And so what the Apostle Paul is doing, he's writing this letter to Philemon. And he's saying, Philemon, listen, I have Onesimus here. He's like my son in Christ. And I'm encouraging him to come back. But I want you to receive him back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And so that's the basis of this letter. And then he gets to verse 11. So that's the context of the letter. So here's the fourth tip, and we're going to focus on this more next week. But the fourth tip is to read slowly and ask questions. And then the fifth tip is to pray that God would speak to you and apply what he showed you. So we're going to read verse 11. I'm going to pray just one more time because I think what verse 11 is, I think it's going to be beneficial. And as I pray, the band can come up as well. So Jesus, we just thank you for this text, God. We ask, God, that you would speak to us in this last verse, maybe even the verses that we've read in the past, God, but that it would speak to us, God, and that we would be able to apply what you show us in Jesus' name. So verse 11, Paul writes, I'm going to start with verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Verse 11. Formerly he, Onesimus, was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Now, if you dig a little deeper, to understand context. Again, I actually brought this up here too. Haley's Bible Handbook. It's a great tool. It just helps you understand a little bit more about the context of things. But if you dig a little deeper into this, you would discover that Onesimus, his name means useful. So let's read verse 11 in, because Paul, he's doing like this play on words right now. He said, formerly he, Onesimus, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. And I love the tension of verse 11, because the Apostle Paul, he says, formerly he was useless, but now he is useful. Formerly he was useless, but now he is useful. Here's why I think this is so beautiful. Because we all have a formerly. We all have a formerly. We all have, at one point, I felt useless. At one point, I felt like I was invaluable. At one point, I felt like I had no purpose. At one point, I felt like there was no hope. At one point, I felt like there was no peace. But now I understand. But now I am useful. Now I have purpose. Now I have hope. Now I have peace. And what I find fascinating is that we love the but now, but we never embrace the but then or the formally. Because but now, it's so glamorous, isn't it? But now I'm healed. But now I have peace. But now my marriage is restored. But now, it's just so glamorous. But can I submit to you this morning that you can't experience the but now until you first walk through the but then. Some of you, you're stuck in the but then. You're in the formally. But my word for you this morning is that if you stick with it, if you trust God, he will take you from there to now. He will move you from formally to then. And I know you may not understand the why right here. But can I also submit to you that it might not be about the but why, but about the but what? God, what do you want me to get in this season? God, what do you want me to learn in this season? Because there will be a but now. I just have to be willing to allow God to write my story, to trust him in this area, in this season. Over here. So my heart for you this morning is that we would get to the place, wherever we're at on this journey, that we would say, God, I'm trusting you. God, this season that I'm in, it seems chaotic, but I'm trusting you to write my story, to lead me from the formerly to the but now. Amen, somebody.